Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Wow, you sound super robotic lately. I don't know what the hell's going on your end.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, did you get like a new mic or something? Or?
No, I actually, it's kind of odd because I legit switched to a different phone because I was using I was using my phone that I've been using this whole time, and you said I sounded robotic suddenly, so I swapped to my other phone now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but yeah, you sound super robotic right now.
Huh. All right. Well, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Do I sound robotic on your end?
Not particularly.
You know what? I didn't listen to the last cast, so I don't know how it ended up turning out, but yeah.
Oh, it didn't sound like anyone complained, so I think we're good.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. No one did complain. However, you know, our six listeners, I don't know how many of them actually listened to the cast last time, so.
people commented, so I assume they didn't just guess what we said.
Yeah, they were, I do feel bad, though, because we had an entire segment where we talked about Australia, and I didn't do an Australian accent throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, neither did I. We blew it.
I mean, I think our two references on Australian accents are Crocodile Dundee and the Simpsons episode where Bart versus Australia.
Yeah, so. And I only have a vague memory of Crocodile Dundee. The Simpsons episode, that I remember a lot more. I've seen that more than once.
You know, I highly recommend seeing Crocodile Dundee again. It's really good. Like, I was shocked. Like, it was one of those movies where I was sitting around with some friends and we were like, let's watch Crocodile Dundee. This will be a LARF. And we were like, wow, this movie's actually structured really well. Like, and I was, no joke. I was shocked at how well structured of a movie it was. Like, it's the perfect fish out of water comedy that of like the 1980s, you know? So there's like the weird like 80s businessman doing coke and, you know, like bad limousines and bad hair and all that weird stuff and like, you know, nondescript ethnic thugs, you know.
Nice. Yeah. The ethnic thug,
you know, like you know, but it's like it's the black man who is wearing like a weird red leather jacket and talking jive, so it's like this is so out of touch and racist, but at the same time it's so 1980s.
Yes, like this person is not real. They don't exist.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like that person does not exist in the real world, but yet here they are in like 16 1980s movies.
Here they are accosting Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. Yeah, but I highly recommend it. Like this has been my thought on the movie Thor, the original movie Thor. Thor should have bit for bit copied Crocodile Dundee. I think I've talked about this. I know I've talked about this on the old Comic Book Logic podcast, but I honestly think that movie is what Thor should have copied Crocodile Dundee beat for beat. And it would have been a much better movie.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before where like existing IPs always just seem to work better when they're just reskinned over a already really good story.
Yeah, I mean, and like the fish out of water comedy is pretty classic. I mean, you could go to the classic fish out of water comedy, Splash, which is, you know, which very literally is a fish out of water comedy. And it's perfect, you know, because it's all about just misunderstandings. And that's what Thor should have been.
Yes, Mr. Tom Hanks was in my taxi, ma'am. And he would have been disgusted at your behavior.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey. Oh man. So we do have some gaming stuff to talk about on this cast.
I thought we were just gonna talk about the giant vampire lady.
We will talk about giant vampire lady. Even though we are, I think, what, 6 weeks out from the initial meme, which means we are officially in old meme territory.
No, it never stops.
It never stops. Don't stop stopping.
Simping don't stop. Twitch can ban it all they want. You're never going to stop simping.
You're never going to stop simping for the giant vampire lady. Lady Dimescu? I don't know how to use
I don't know. It's like very like Transylvanian sounding. So it's like
Dimitri.
It's like Divizimichmitsness. So it's probably pronounced like Dragon Master. Because like I remember I had an acquaintance a long time ago whose last name was Sed Bavchak. That's how his name was said. It was Sed Bavchak. Like that was his name. First of all, it started with a W. So right off the bat, we're losing points. and then the chalk part was like a J and like something else. I don't know. It was like jumbled up a bunch of letters, threw it on a piece of paper, and you're like, this is how this is said. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Well, for those who are listening who are not aware of it, which could be some, we're talking about Lady Dimitrescu, who is the giant vampire lady from Resident Evil 8. Or Village, is it called? Resident Evil Village, where the ILL or whatever.
Yes. The game is called Village, but they put when they did 7.
Yeah.
They did something similar where they like they integrated the Roman numeral 7 into the, because like they're Resident Evil games, but they took a very interesting direction, which I really liked, because Resident Evil games were always traditionally third person, like over the shoulder. So you'd see the back of your character, you'd run, you know, you'd see your character at all times. And that's how the game's played. And the remakes are all doing that as well. So like they did a fantastic remake of Resident Evil 2. Phenomenal game. I highly recommend that remake to anyone. But they kept that. But they are using the same engine that powered Resident Evil 7, which was kind of like, so Resident Evil 6 had issues, and Resident Evil 7 came back as a first-person game, which it debuted with the terrifying VR game, Kitchen.
Oh my God, that game was horrible. That game was terrifying. Like, yes. if VR had, like, if they could capitalize on how good that game was with VR horror, I think VR would take off. But I think VR is kind of like 3D TV, where it's just a fad.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I think personally right now, the biggest issues I think with VR is just the headsets are too fucking big.
No, it's that they can't integrate movement as well. That's the biggest problem. It's like the movement is so jilted, like you don't actually feel like you're moving. So every VR game that's out there is very static. You stand still.
I gotcha. They could, but it would be very expensive and it would be very difficult to like actually implement. But I know I have some, but whatever. But they debuted it with Kitchen, and the terrifying woman in Kitchen is one of the enemies that chases you in 7. And 7 also has a very good VR release. It might be the best VR game out there because it is first person, which was a huge change for the series. So they like, it is Resident Evil 7, but like the name, I can't remember how they put the 7 together. Yeah. But like same kind of thing, but like this is going off the same thing. So now this is 8, and this is also a first person game. Like they've kind of just switched the franchise to, we're going to do the old games as remakes that are using the same engine, but we're going to keep those in third person, keep the gameplay you love, and we're just going to remake the games you like and, you know, maybe tweak some things here and there. And I have to say, like, unlike when a movie gets remade, when games get remade, very frequently you get, it's good.
Like, yeah, it's a better product. Yeah.
That's the biggest difference.
The funny thing about well, Resident Evil is always just a weird franchise because it's one of those Japanese franchises, and there's many of them, where it's like Japanese people who have no... This is the original Resident Evil. I'm not talking like newer ones, but because the newer ones are just aping off what the originals did. But the originals are like when a Japanese designer doesn't really know Western culture well enough, but they make a game that takes place in the West, and it's just such a Japanese, I don't know how the best word.
Japanizing beam.
Yeah, it's like the West, but it's just weird enough where it's like, this isn't America. This is like a weird Japanese version of America. It's like when like an anime tries to become Americanized, and they like, you know, what you always say, they have rice balls and they make them into hamburgers. You know, yeah. It's like they do that, but it's like they intentionally try to make it Western, but it's like in that weird uncanny valley of westernization.
Well, the ultimate example of that is
House of the Dead.
Evangelion.
Oh. Yeah, Evangelion is very much like, yeah.
None of the writers, and not because Evangelion is like a set in the West, like set in America story, but it's because like Evangelion uses, you know, like tons of like Christian iconography and references and like terminology. Everyone working on that series, every single person working on that series has no fucking idea what Christianity is. None of them do. They literally just like took words and they were like, yeah, this is good. Angel Gabriel. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Although I would say that their angels are a little bit more accurate than the standard Western depiction of angels.
Well, and that's what I'm saying about Resident Evil is like they do such, and it's so weird, but it's like everything is very Japanese in how like the Raccoon City and the police force, it's all like it's modeled off of Japan, but yet it takes place in the West. So you're like playing it and you're like, wait a minute.
You're playing as a cop and he's helping people. He's not beating his wife.
Not just randomly shooting people.
Yeah. Not just randomly shooting people and going home and beating his wife and kids. Like, man, that's definitely not standard.
Yeah. But we're talking, for getting back to originally what we're talking about, it's probably my new favorite meme, and I love memes that secretly out people's fetishes. You know, it doesn't make fun of people's fetishes, but like it just brings it out where you're just like, oh, so like this person really has a giantess fetish.
it's a you dropped this moment.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you dropped this, you know, like, and it's like, oh, it's a copy of Gigantic Asses. And you're like,
exactly. Or it's like when you see an artist like online who's doing like, who does like fan art of something. And then you all of a sudden you notice that they do really, really intense details on the feet. And you're like, oh, this guy's a foot fetishist. Okay.
I saw a fucking great, there was a great interview with Gabe Newell. And there was just a picture. Gabe Newell's the guy from Steam, Valve, etc. And there's a pic of him talking about some fucking future gaming thing, but he's not wearing shoes. He's just barefoot. And one of the comments was like, how come he's not wearing any shoes? And then the next reply to him was like, he's giving the gamers what they really want on all fronts.
Exactly. Like I love it when that happens, because I think it demystifies weird fetishes a little bit more. And they're not even weird. They're like very vanilla fetishes. Like a giantess fetish is very vanilla.
In terms
of like shit I've seen, like giantess fetishes are very vanilla. Same thing with like feet fetishes. Very, very vanilla.
There's not many that I would actually consider weird. Even if you said the weird ones, I'd be like, not really that weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm a 40 year old man who's been exposed to the internet for the last 20 years. There's not many that I would consider weird. But however, like, I do know,
this is pretty weird.
I do know that if I talked to some of my, just like my regular friends, and I said, hey, look at this. This is all about like a giantess fetish. They'd be like, what's a giantess fetish? And I'd be like, I don't really want to explain this to you.
how are they your same age? How did they grow up on the same internet we did? We experienced it all as it was happening.
You know, but that's the thing is like, I feel like I have a much more curious, I don't want to say imagination, but I have a much more curious nature about me than probably some of my friends, which is not anything. I'm not like kink shaming people or anything like that. But it's like when I meet a person who's like, and they're like, oh, my fetish is legs. I'm like, that's not a fetish.
That just means you like a thing that is normally liked.
Exactly. Which I guess is technically a fetish, but I mean, like, I don't want to gatekeep fetishizing.
I guess if we're gonna really break it down, I don't know if we should. Break down the concept. I think it's like there's a huge difference between like a preference or something you like and something that would actually like really be like a fetish.
Because
you really had a fetish for legs. Like you'd do weird shit with legs. Like you'd have the leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
Yeah,
but you would have it because it's sexual.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and for those who don't know, I think we'd even get into it, this lady Dimitrescu or whatever her name is like a 9 foot, like when the video like preview of Resident Evil 8 came out, they showed this giant vampire lady, like a 9 foot tall vampire lady, and people lost their minds about it. Like, and you know that people lost their minds because I heard about it on like the generic internet before. Like, and I'm not even, because I wasn't like,
the internet collectively lost it for this giant lady.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even a like a Resident Evil fan, so I didn't even see the preview. But after I started seeing like the memes pop up immediately, I was like, "What in the hell is this?"
Oh yeah, all I'm saying is just going by her dialogue and how she like hunts the player and like what she does. Someone at Capcom fucking knew what they were doing.
Exactly.
Because she's giant. She has to like crouch down to get into like doors.
Yeah.
Because you know you're running around in the house and like. There's a thing where she's like, she like busts the door open. She's like, "Are you in here?" And she like, she sees your character and she's like, "Silly boy." And she grabs you by the throat and picks you up. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Someone knew that. They were just like checking the boxes.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly. So all you need is her crushing you with her feet, bare feet. And you'd also need her to eat you. And that would like check all the other boxes on there. I mean, so
she's got choking because she attacks you with
it's
choking.
True, yeah, but that's what I'm saying, is like those are the just the other two that you need to add on, yeah, to there for a giantess fetish to really hit with everybody.
He is a vampire, so we can say vampires are, I would say vampirism is vore adjacent.
Yeah, it's vore adjacent. Vore. All right, I'm enough talking about the weird fetishism of Lady Dimitrescu. It's taking me to weird places that I don't want to explore right now. It's legit. But I did want to talk about another video game. Well, actually, this could actually be a pretty video game heavy cast, probably, because I've been playing the 2019 Spider-Man all the way through. You ever played that one?
That's the PS4 exclusive one, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have not.
It is probably, like, for as much as that game was hyped, it is probably the worst version of every game it is trying to be. It's the worst version of Batman Arkham Asylum. It's the worst version of Metal Gear. It's like, it's just like.
So that very well might be true. I have no ground to agree with that statement because, again, I haven't played it. However, I can say it's still probably the best Spider-Man game.
Yeah, I will say that. I was just like,
that's the big thing about that game. Like, that was the big like draw. Everyone was like, this Spider-Man game is actually good.
Yeah,
Spider-Man games historically are horrible.
It's not a bad Spider-Man game. It's not a bad game, let me tell you that. But it's like the dodge system. So like, it's totally got like Arkham Asylum style combat, right? Very crunchy.
Yeah, the DDR button pressing.
Yeah, the DDR button pressing. And it's like, but it also has like a big part of that is dodge. And so like every time the spider sense goes off, you're supposed to dodge, like how Batman used to have like those red like lightning bolts over his head and you'd be like, oh, time to dodge. Like this one is like, oh, you see the spider sense and you hit dodge and it's like, oh, I just got punched. So this is useless. Because, you know, I used to be able to play Arkham Asylum. Now, granted, it's been like 2 years since I played Arkham Knights or whatever the last one was, probably longer than that, probably like 6 years at this point. But it's like, I know that I was good enough and my reaction time was fast enough that I didn't have to worry about that. Maybe it's just because I'm older, but man, was the dodge hinky as all hell in the Spider-Man game.
And, I don't know.
Yeah. And also on there is, it has the most effective RPGs ever in a game. Rocket, you know, they like, these are literally like I've seen...
don't know, have you played Uncharted 3? Because Uncharted 3 some pretty like laser focused RPGs that just like follow you and a million show up.
Yeah, these are better than the ones in Uncharted, because in Uncharted, if you got up close to them, they wouldn't shoot you because they know if you're shooting off an RPG, they will die. In Spider-Man, they're like, I don't give a fuck. They could be like directly next to you. They shoot the RPG off into a crowd of their own compatriots, and it does not affect them at all. It literally is like, oh, we're slightly stunned by this giant missile that got shot at us.
I'll kill myself and Spider-Man.
Oh, I'll teach that Spider-Man. Also, the accents in the game are not quite New York enough for me. I played Lego Marvel Superheroes with my son, and the people in that game are all like, superheroes in New York, come on. In this game, they're all like, hello.
Let's not mince words here. The Lego games, all of them are masterworks. They're
masterpieces. Yeah.
And like, that's not even a joke. I think there was one that was specifically bad, but like it had very specific issues, but like the Lord of the Rings Lego games are great. The Hobbit Lego games are great. The Star Wars Lego games are great.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I'm looking forward.
Good as shit. Like, I don't know. They just do it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Lego Skywalker Saga game, because it's supposed to be amazing. It's coming out in a couple months, so I'm gonna get that one. But this is like the Lego Marvel ones. They're all like, "Hey, give me a hot dog, oi!"
Lego hot dog.
In Spider-Man, they're all like, "Hello, I'm from Brooklyn. Hello, Spider-Man. Can you help me out? I seem to have lost my dog." And you're just like, "That's not New York. That's weak sauce."
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have someone who's like, "Spider-Man, help! A giant rat stole my slice of pizza." it's not New York enough for me.
It's like, "Hey, oh, Spider-Man, knock it off with the swinging. I'm trying to walk you."
Hey, yo, there's superheroes in New York.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that really did bother me. And oh my God, and the side missions in the Spider-Man game, I shouldn't say side missions, but every like, I don't know, every eighth mission in the Spider-Man game, you have to play as Mary Jane or Miles Morales, kind of like skulking around like a stealth mission. And you're just like, oh my God, these are so boring. And they even have the Arkham Asylum Scarecrow missions where Spider-Man gets poisoned and he's like hallucinating. I'm like, I know it's been 6-7 years since Arkham Knights came out, but come on. Like, this is just a direct ripoff.
I do hear there's the, I think, I don't know if it's out yet or not, there's the PS5 one, the new one. Supposedly that one's dope.
For Batman?
For Spider-Man. It's a brand new one. It's either out or it's coming out, and either it is better or already looks better. I don't know which is the current status is. I don't really follow games I'm never going to play.
Is that the one for
PS5 only? It's not on PS4.
So it's not the Miles Morales one?
It would be. It would be.
Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be out on PS4 too.
That's the one everyone's hyped about.
Okay, because I have the PS4. I don't know, but it'll be interesting. I maybe give it a try. I mean, it's like the game wasn't bad. It had a lot of content, but it was a lot of like, it's very Assassin's Creed. It's very Batman, where it's like, I'm going to collect trophies. I'm going to do these side missions. But it was like the free swinging was a lot of fun. I don't think the controls were that intuitive. I think it's very intuitive. And I'm like, this is not intuitive. This is
the only game I ever did any of that shit for was Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Shadows of Mordor blows it away when it comes to combat.
That was always my, like, that was, and that was the game I actually did collection too. I think it was the same grip I had with Batman, because Batman could like grapple around and like, there was a lot of like,
yeah,
dimensional movement. It was a lot harder to like find the collectibles, so it felt like a lot more like a chore.
Yeah.
But with Shadow of Mordor, like if there was a collectible that was somewhere high, like you didn't have to like figure out like a weird, like there wasn't a weird,
there was no puzzle.
It was harder to hide stuff, I guess, because there's like if there's a tower and there's like a big spot under the tower, you can just be like, I'll climb up this tower, and while I'm climbing, I'm like, oh, there's a collectible down here, I'll grab that.
Well, my favorite thing about Shadows of Mordor was still the challenge system with the bosses.
Oh yeah, that's fucking great. It's so good.
Well, because you'd be sitting there, you'd be like, okay, you're fighting off this massive horde of orcs. Like, you have 30 orcs that you're just taking on, and then all of a sudden it's like this big boss shows up, and you're just like, fuck! But it was so fun because you'd be like,
they always chant his name, Ugluk. It was dope.
Yeah, and then he would come in and they'd always say something like, I smash back on the menu, boys.
Yeah, of course. They would always have a good line, be like, I thought I killed you.
Yeah. And it was great. And you were like, oh my God, I want a model of this guy. I want the model of this guy. I want the model of this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a fantastic game. I kind of wish that GW would have the license for that so that they could bring some of that shit in. Yeah, it'd be fantastic, but they're never going to do that. They have to keep re-releasing old models and charging $30 for a blister of them.
No, they've been doing new ones. Treebeard is great.
Yeah, no, a lot of they've been just recently they re-released a bunch of old sculpts, and it did like the price of them was jacked up enormously, and I was like, holy shit. Like, where it like normally I don't give a fuck because it's Lord of the Rings and I don't play it right now. It's a great game. I just don't play it. And it's just I saw the price on there and I was like, whoo. There's actually a pretty great Patreon for 3D printed models. It's called The Print Goes Ever On. Where they do kind of what's it called? They do
Middle Earth minis.
Yeah, Middle Earth minis, and they're really good. And I think it's called The Print Goes Ever On. The printing, I mean, the printing goes ever on.
Nice.
Yeah. And they do. What's nice about it too is they release battle maps with the figures too. And they do it kind of by chapter. So like you'll go through and you'll be like, okay, these are the models from chapter one. These are the models from chapter two of Lord of the Rings. So they're more based off the books than anything. So the first one is that they did in September was like chapter one where or September. So they did. So it's all like Shire stuff. Right. And Tom Bombadil and Goldberry and all that stuff. And then they did chapter two, which was like the Dark Riders and Bree. I really recommend it. It's a really cool. There's a really cool Aragorn sitting at the bench with the hood up, smoking the pipe at the Prancing Pony. So if you're into 3D printing, and I could talk about that a little bit later because I do have some thoughts on 3D printing since I've been.
You can finally make your own like dope little Lord of the Rings diorama.
Yeah, you can. There's plenty of cool stuff in there. But another video game that was announced after our last cast, Total War 3.
Yes.
Where they're like, we've run out of races. We're going to go to some more obscure stuff.
Factions, baby.
Yeah, so they announced Total War 3, which is, as I like to call it, Warhammer Fantasy Simulator.
I'd say it's Warhammer Fantasy Perfect, honestly.
It really is close. If just the games are pretty perfect. The combat perfect, games, like, not the turn based building and shit.
The map, yeah, the map stuff's pretty hard.
I can't wrap my head around it. I am just not that style of gamer.
The reason that is because you can do it's got the it's not quite analysis paralysis, but you drown in your options because there's so much shit to like do and manage, and it's not structured like Civilization is.
Yeah.
Civilization has a lot going on, but Civilization is like it's like a method. Like you're like, okay, so you do this and you do that, but like with a with Total War army, like you can be like, well, you can move the banner literally anywhere on this map. You can go into like different stances with your army, and there's all like, these like pluses and minuses, and then all those stances also change value depending on which faction or which faction general you're playing, because like the orcs like and beastmen, like you should always have a raiding banner with like what those factions, because like they get huge benefits from raiding. So like if you're not raiding with something, you're going to lose. That's the thing. But also, the higher difficulties are bullshit on the map. I think normal or easy is really all you should be playing on the map, because like it's not quite the computer cheats, but the computer cheats when you're playing on the higher difficulties.
Yeah,
they get more than they're supposed to. It's just that was the same thing. That was one of the reasons I always hated the extreme difficulty on StarCraft back in the day. Is extreme difficulty on StarCraft was extreme difficulty because the AI started with more resources than you.
Yeah,
which is bullshit.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. Let me tell you. I can't, like, when I play, I'm just like, I need to get one of those old school books from like Nintendo Power that tells me step by step how to play every faction in every turn.
There are actually some really, there's a ton of Total War content on YouTube, and they actually have I know there's at least two channels that have the first 20 turns for the campaign.
Oh yeah, I tried to follow them through before I finished that before I realized that my computer could not handle the game. But But when I, the new game, Total War 3 coming out, starts off, you have Kislev, which is automatically like, oh, my Slav squat. It's
you, the tracksuit pants burst out from underneath your skin.
Exactly. It's like, I'm a wear Slav. Like I'm all of a sudden just like a gold chain just starts forming around my neck. Like,
no, it's a really grotesque transformation where basically a you wearing a gold chain, white Adidas, and a tracksuit burst out from inside you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost there. I do have a pair of white Adidas. But I don't usually wear jewelry. That goes back to high school when I worked in an arcade and they wouldn't let you wear jewelry, and I just never really caught on after that. But the if I started wearing a tracksuit and I shaved my head really close like I used to, I would definitely look like an extra in GTA 5.
Nice.
Just like, hey, how's it going, buddy? How you doing? Everything is good over here.
You want some sausage?
No, I have pickled herring. I have some borscht. I have some caviar for you in the little infused vodka. What kind of infused vodka do you want? You want horseradish vodka or garlic vodka?
Vlad, get our guests some chivoptichi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You like chivoptichi? Chivoptichi good. Of course you like chivoptichi.
As I say, my big problem is that I'm too Polish. I'm too Western for that. I'm not Russian enough for it.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of. I don't think there's a Slav supremacy.
any
Slav will tell you there is, but
yeah, exactly. And you know, it's I'm very very Polish, so it's a thing. But it's like anything where it's like you, once you're into whatever culture you're into, like you start like micro analyzing everything about it. So it's like. Like beer snobs who take all the fun out of beer, you know, it's like once, and when you're outside the beer snob world, like outside the microbrewery world, all beer is kind of like, okay, there's like six different types of beer. And when you get in, you're just like, wait a second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, nobody gives a shit. Yeah.
So you have the Kislev, which I'm super excited about. And it looks like they're taking a lot of the model work from Warhammer, the Old World designs that we saw that they were putting out for it, or it's vice versa. I don't know. They might be just taking them from Total War when they're building them out for the models.
I don't know. Just see. So, I mean, obviously this is my tinfoil hat thing going on. But like seeing Total War 3, seeing the similarities between all of those, like, as far as I know, new sketches from workshops, and seeing the Kislev models from like Total War, like mimicking that, like I think the Old World is just gonna be fucking block ass fantasy, dude. I think it's just literally just gonna be like a fucking block regiment fantasy game.
Well, yeah, I totally agree.
I hope it ends up being hurt. Like, I really sincerely hope it ends up being like I hope it ends up being more War of the Ring than Warhammer. I really liked the War of the Ring style of like regiments. So I hope it's more like that, but we'll see, I guess. I also would settle for Warmaster. Like if they just made like an upscaled Warmaster, also would be fine with that.
Yeah. I think either of those would be fine. I think if they did, like they want to go to one of the older systems, I think if they went 7 or pre-7 would be fine. I think 8th was too, and we've talked about that before, but the, yeah, I honestly think that what they're doing is they're capitalizing.
The long and short always has been 6th edition was the best edition they made, and what they needed to do was they needed to just do small tweaks to 6th edition for each new edition, but instead they just like didn't.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what they're doing for the Old World is that like, holy shit, Warhammer Total War is super fucking popular. Like
it really is. Like it's huge.
I think I think it's more popular than Dawn of War ever was.
I have to agree with you.
Like, and Dawn of War was super popular back in the day.
Dawn of War was huge.
and we talked about that on the cast of like Dawn of War got a lot of people into the game. But here we go. We have a super popular Warhammer Fantasy Battles game. Warhammer Fantasy Battles does not exist anymore. Yeah, so there's a lot of money left on the table.
And I know I've said it before and you said it before, but like I like Age of Sigmar. I think Age of Sigmar has become an excellent game. Age of Sigmar is absolutely not anywhere near touching the itch of actually playing Warhammer.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like I honestly think that the next logical step for Total War would be to do Age of Sigmar Total War. It's not like you even have to change that much. It's the exact same game. You just have to change like the design work and shit like that.
The only issue with that is I don't know if like, because there's a lot of just Total War fans who also play Warhammer Total War who like they don't have any interest in like the tabletop whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think they would actually have to look at their bottom line to see how Age of Sigmar would affect their standard Total War fans, because I believe the standard Total War fans really like the precision unit adjustments, because you know you can make your unit like your block regiment, you can adjust the size, the shape, the facing, how the block regiment works.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't do that with Age of Sigmar, because Age of Sigmar is a pile of guys. Every regiment's a pile of guys.
Yeah, but I mean, you could do that for the game, though. You could make it regimented. I mean, technically, Age of Sigmar is kind of regimented. It's just everything's on a circle base, and they don't really have to maintain the regiment. You know, you don't have to do that. But I mean, you could do
a fusion too. You could do smaller regiments, but more micro stuff. You can make the characters more important.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of stuff that you could do. I mean, you don't have to make it like Age of Sigmar, the tabletop game, because Total War is nothing like Warhammer Fantasy Battles in terms of like how it actually works.
It's not turn based. You'll never have the exact feel of
and you can actually put units in forests in Total War, and it's not like it completely ruins the game.
And they can leave the forest.
They can leave the forest and do shit.
Also, archers can break into a skirmish formation. That's why I said it's Warhammer Fantasy Perfect.
I think that they could do Age of Sigmar and do so. Like in all reality, Total War 4 could be Warhammer Total War 4 the End Times, and they could legit do the End Times or Storm of Chaos the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, so you could imagine that like you're doing it like the End Times, you could have the five different armies that you could have. You could have the Chaos Army with like, you know, the Chaos Undivided led by Archaon. You could have like the crazy ass Skaven army. Is Skaven even an army yet? Yeah, Skaven's an army in Total War. What am I saying?
There's a lot of factions in Total War that are they're quote unquote armies, but like they're not fleshed out. I would say Beastmen are definitely one of them. I never tried Skaven because they're from Total War 1, so I've only played a bunch of the Total War 2 stuff, but like Beastmen are frequently griped about on the Total War subreddit for good reason, because they're just incomplete.
Yeah.
So while they do have many factions in the game, they're just not quite there. Like for example, the enemies previewed in Total War 3 is demon armies.
Yeah, you could have your own Chaos demon army.
Which that's not a thing you can currently do in Total War. Like it just. There's no like big demon armies as far as I know.
No,
like,
there isn't.
So there you go. So you can't play a demon army. So like it's not that's not a quote unquote new faction, but it is a new faction because it's demons.
Yeah, no, and I think that'd be cool. I mean, I would love to have a fucking all up like Khorne army, just like where I don't have to really play the game. I could just literally just put the Khorne army out on the thing, hit play, and just let them go at it. Cause I'll be,
just like the simulations.
It's just like the simulations. I'd be a huge fan of that. And the rumor, it's not even a rumor. They're saying that there's Cathay in the game, which will be the first time we ever see anything Cathayan.
And that's another thing that they mentioned for the old world, which is another reason I think that like they're really just going to do Total War on the tabletop.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's so they'll do they have Cathay, and then there's going to be two more armies that they haven't said anything with, and people think it's ogres and chaos. Ogres for sure, And the last one,
ogres don't exist at all, so yeah. they would be a brand new faction to the game.
Yeah, and I think that they would. That makes sense because they're a legit mini game and mini faction that does not have anything playable in Total War. And then you'd have, and I think it'd be Chaos Dwarves because I think that would make the most amount of sense to have Chaos Dwarves.
I also don't think Chaos Dwarves are in the game at all either. But again, yeah. Not sure.
But that makes sense though, because if they're doing like Kislev, Chaos, of course, because you have the Chaos Waste right next to Kislev, Ogre Kingdoms, which is right next to that as well, to the south of Ogre Kingdoms is the Chaos Dwarves, and to the east is Cathay. So that all makes sense in terms of the map.
Yeah, it's all checked out.
Yeah. Conspiracy confirmed. Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer.
True, he is.
So what that all gets us down to is Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer.
As you can all see, as you can see by the evidence that we've compiled here, Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, man. I love that movie. That's a great movie.
Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer?
No, just Zodiac. I love that movie.
He talks to a dog, right?
What?
Or is that? Oh, no, that's Summer of Sam.
Summer of Sam. Son of Sam is the it was the guy who thought that who said that his dog was telling him to kill David Berkowitz.
Right. I always get those guys confused because Zodiac never got caught, right?
Yeah, Zodiac never got caught, but he was West Coast. Son of Sam was East Coast. Son of Sam was the New York guy. He was like the short, fat New York guy who was like, yeah, you know me. I got my dog. It's telling me to kill people.
Yeah. He
superheroes like
he
in New York.
he looked like he was made of Italian sauce. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely looked like he was made of Italian sausage, but he was Jewish, so it's you know,
that doesn't matter. If you're in New York, you either look like. Yeah. I've seen like New York. From what I've seen, New York people fall into three categories. They either look like they're made of kale, they look like they're made of Italian sausage, or they look like they're made of vodka.
Yes.
That's my short. Like there's the three furs for New York folks.
Yeah, he's that's like that holy trinity of serial killers from that era. It was like Zodiac, Son of Sam, and Ted Bundy, I guess, would be the other one on there. So
Zodiac was the one that like, he just left the weird notes with the weird symbols, and like they never caught him or anything, right?
Yeah, Zodiac. Yeah, they never caught him. They actually just translated one of his last letters just recently, like one of the ones that they couldn't translate.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, and it was basically just a fucking shit post.
Yeah, it was just a shit post.
That's awesome. Like it was like, we finally translated this letter after 25 years. We're gonna see what horrifying message this guy has for us. It's just a fucking shit post.
He's all like, I really like the giant vampire lady in Resident Evil 8. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, perfect.
Zodiac has a giantess fetish.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, I've said I have a weird obsession with 60s and 70s serial killers. I'd say 60s to 80s serial killers. It kind of ends with Jeffrey Dahmer for me, which was early 90s, but yeah.
Sure.
I mean, he was kind of like the last of an era of like, just what the fuck is going on? And that's just because we got rid of the lead in the gasoline, so that really tamed a lot of that.
I think that was the cause.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's actually, I believe that there's still a ton of serial killers operating in the United States right now. There's one in Chicago that's killed like an insane amount of people and that no one talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still active. But the thing is that he kills lower income African-American women on the west side of Chicago. So no one comments on that one, of course, because
it's like if you exclusively targeted hobos, no one would ever.
If you exclusively target hobos. Yeah,
no one would say anything.
Yeah, they call him the Chicago Strangler. He's killed 55. At least 55 victims, between 55 and 75 victims. He's been operating since 2001. Like, and I guarantee you probably have never even heard of that.
Nope, never heard of him.
I mean, he's a serial killer operating for 20 years who's probably killed between 50 and 75 people. Like,
well, you only hear about serial killers, the more often you hear about serial killers is when they're when they don't make the police, or when they don't point out how incompetent the police are.
Yeah, that's true too.
Usual Sun. So like they're gonna downplay the fact that they've had a serial killer operating for 20 years in the city of Chicago because that makes the police look like the fucking pieces of shit, useless bastards that they are. So there you go.
I mean, seriously, like he's killed between 50 and 75 people, and Ted Bundy killed 12, and he's one of the most famous serial killers of all time.
Yeah, well, yeah, but because he got caught.
Yeah,
it's the thing. Like he didn't operate for 20 years and make the, you know, that's. I reiterate my previous statement. Like, there's a huge difference, and that's why they can you know, broadcast about those, because it's like they were caught. Either they caught, were caught, or stopped.
Well, so, yeah. Like, but I mean, like, and the funny thing is like the serial killers who get caught are like, they just make dumb mistakes. And then the police or detectives act like they're such big, like fucking heroes because they were able to catch, what's his face? The BTK killer, because they accidentally, found out that his daughter threw a DNA test, you know, it's like, you didn't do shit.
Yeah, you accidentally fucking cracked the case. Congratulations, you fucking dumb shit.
Oh, what? And what's that guy from? Ed Kemper. Ed Kemper is another one who just like gave himself up, and like they act like it was such a big
they say that like in part of the profile, there's a lot of them who have like, you know, they have a huge complex of like guilt about doing it, like because they're compelled to do it, but they know that it's wrong. So like that's the concept of the like, I'm going to slip up intentionally to be caught, or something along those lines. So like that makes sense, because there's like that's something they talk about. So if you have one who doesn't have said like ounce of guilt, then clearly they're gonna, you know, not get caught.
There's a British serial killer that I absolutely love. I can't remember his name right now, but he was like this guy who was really into, they said he was into
the tall lady from Resident Evil.
No, they said he was really into like goth emo music in like the 1980s, but he wasn't like, he was more into like prog rock. But he was called like the emo kill. I don't remember what he's like, but what he would do is when he would kill people, he would like
Alan Parsons project.
Yeah, no, Adam Ant. He would like store them up in like the floorboards of the attic and stuff, and then he tried to flush them down the toilet, and he clogged up the toilet, and that's how he got caught.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was I can't remember his name though. But yeah, it was
yeah. So it's either like the serial killer fucks up, or they intentionally give themselves up, or they are sloppy, or they are intentionally sloppy, something like that. Because this is it. Like if you have the desire to be a serial killer, especially in America, like there's nothing stopping you. Like you could just grab a gun, walk to any big city, shoot someone, walk back home, and the chances of you getting caught, fucking impossible. Like no one, like you don't know the person you shot. Nobody knows you because you don't live there. Like, the odds of you getting caught just doing that are so low.
Yeah.
Because most people who get caught when they commit a murder, it's because they kill somebody they know. Like, you know, it's like, and the police are so incompetent. There's like, I mean, and like I said, that's not just me slamming the cops, which deserve every slam I give them. But like, if you ever get into like true crime or anything like that, the fucking incompetence of the police is fucking disgusting. Like, you should be pissed that you spend any tax dollars on the police in the United States. I was watching this thing of a true crime. This fucking, like, he basically was a plumbing baron for all intents and purposes. And he was like, the story is pretty long, but to not give you the full story, to give you the short running story, he was being poisoned actively by his wife and his wife's friend / possible mistress with arsenic, blatantly.
I heard this, blatantly,
continuously, and like to the point where it was like he would be in the hospital and the doctors would be like, oh, he's recovering nicely, and then his wife and her and the other lady would like visit in the room, and then suddenly he would be violently ill. And like, and the doctors just like, just don't understand it, and the cops are like, we have no idea what's going on. Like, because the cops were called multiple times to like investigate, and they're just like, I don't know, seems pretty weird. And like his daughter, I guess, is like, they're poisoning him. Like, they're poisoning him. Like, his daughter is like yelling at the police, like, they're poisoning him, they're doing something to him. And the cops are just like, I don't know about that, young lady, calm down, you're a little hysteric. Like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And like they did it. It was like it took like 4 years to kill this guy.
Well, I mean, like you look at Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole, and you're just like, how did these people evade the police for as long as they did? These are like but I always say that, like,
someone competent.
Yeah. Well, I also say that a lot of major issues with catching these people is we didn't have that idea of the psychology of a killer that we have now. I mean, when you watch that that Netflix show that they did, and I can't think of the name of it right now. I loved it too. It was the one by David Fincher. And it's all about like the birth of like the serial killer crimes department in the FBI. You know, it's a dramatization of the whole effect and of the whole thing, but it's really cool to see.
So you got Al Pacino in the courtroom going like, "You'll never take me."
Yeah, but it just goes to show you like how stupid law enforcement is. Like,
oh yeah,
like they just think they know everything about, like, you know,
they find the first person they can reasonably pass it on and then beat them into confessing it. That's like, there's so many like false confessions that are like brought up and like coming out, like every year there's like tons more that are like, yeah, this dude confessed to these like two murders he totally didn't commit, and they have no idea who did, but they like found exonerating evidence for the dude who confessed. Like, why did he confess? Like, because the cops fucking beat him. That's what it is. The cops beat him into confessing, and then it's like, oh yeah, so not only did this guy serve time like 10 years for a crime he didn't commit, but the person who killed those two people 10 years ago, he's still at large, and they have no evidence, no lead. That person just got away with it. And that was all due to law enforcement incompetence.
Oh, man. So
you just look at their case closed rate. It's fucking disgusting.
It's abysmal. But yeah, so let's we're not a serial killer podcast. There are much better serial killer podcasts out there. I always recommend Last Podcast on the Left. That's one of my favorites when it comes to, and they don't, like, sometimes they do casts that I'm not a huge fan of. Like when they do cults, I think that, like, I don't know. I don't think it's as like, I really like when they go into like the serial killers.
Yeah.
And I also do like their woo woo podcast where they talk about like aliens and shit like that. But I really. I do. Well, you know me. I'm a huge believer. Or I should say, I want to believe.
You want to believe. Yeah,
which, you know, I love that saying, because I didn't realize it till I got older, like what it actually means is that Mulder doesn't believe in aliens, but he wants to believe in aliens, which, right. I think is a very important distinction. Like, I didn't even realize it till I got older and I sat there and I thought about that for a while, and that's me. It's like, I don't necessarily believe in aliens, but I want to believe in aliens.
That's like wanting to believe in those things, you know, it makes it appear that there's like an order to the chaos that we exist in.
Yeah.
Like if there are things like that, like maybe some other questions or things that don't make sense actually would make sense.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why people, you know, want to believe.
That's the exact way of looking at it. However, I do believe in Bigfoot, and I believe he's magical. And I believe that he's here to help us as a civilization.
So do you believe in the Weekly World News headlines of I'm carrying Bigfoot's baby, et cetera?
I do. I miss the Weekly World News.
What about Bat Boy?
You know, when the Weekly World News thought it like got canceled, I never thought I'd find a better source of crazy news until Trump got his Twitter. Now they took that away from us too.
Bat Boy's over, man.
Bat Boy is over.
It's time for no more malarkey. Listen here, Jack. How do I open PDF?
Oh, brother! I did want to talk about one last gaming thing. Is that we're getting our Slaneshi releases now, and Jombie Boy is getting released. Hedonbot.
Yeah,
he's getting his release. He's not that expensive. I thought he'd be much more expensive than he is.
Well, he's not gigantic. He's like Dreadnought size, so he should be around Dreadnought.
Is he really? He's not Dreadnought size. He's way bigger than Dreadnought sized.
Well, I guess no. He's contemporary Dreadnought size. He is the, because there's a new size that I call, that I just coined it myself. It's not the actual size of an old 40K Dreadnought, because an old 40K Dreadnought is too small. The Grey Knight thingy, the Grey Knight baby cat carriage.
Yeah.
That kind of range of size, that's the like new Dreadnought size.
Yeah, he's just like he's a big old I always say he's a slashy chariot size. He's the demon at chariot.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like that big ass guy. That's what I see him as more than anything. And I hate that model, but I do love
you don't like Hedonabot?
I love Hedonabot. I'm talking the slashy chariot. I don't like
I like the chariot a lot, but I think it has a little bit too much, but I've seen some builds of it with the too much scaled down a bit, and it looks much better.
Yeah, the Seeker Chariot of Slaanesh. I think that if I took that model and I replaced the beasts and the actual demonettes with the Juan Diaz sculpts, I think it would be much better.
Ooh, that would actually look pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, I just hate the new Slaaneshi demonette models. I think that they're not attractive to me, Steve. They're not like Lady Demonette's true. They're not giant vampire lady.
Sorry, you missed the like the old like silent film Nosferatu heads and the big crab claws.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see it.
Like the but yeah, those are getting released. But you know what? It's as I say, I'm not. I've talked about this before. I'm not buying new models for anything because I have my 3D printer, and 3D printer goes. Brrr.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm currently working on an AOS Tomb King army using the sculpts from Lost Kingdom, and I've already told you this, but I should tell my listeners as well. Is holy shit, are those models fragile? Like, I say this before. I have the hands of a surgeon, Steve. I can literally paint tiny details. I paint freckles on models and tiny tattoos and everything else. I could do all that stuff. But when it comes to putting these models together, I'm just like holding it. And it's like crunch. I'm like, fuck.
Just crumbling to dust in your hand.
I'm like the rock biter
it's the Tomb King's experience.
Yeah. I'm like the rock biter from fucking Never Ending Story, where I'm just like, these hands are strong hands.
It's crumbled to dust.
And that's exactly what I'm like. And I'm just like, Jesus. I'm like, am I just like a ham-handed monster?
Maybe you are. I mean, the models seem to think so.
Exactly. But then you have like, and I've told you this before. I think I've told you this before, that there are two types of 3D prints. There are like the guys who do legit design so that the models will stand up. Titan Forge is one of those great examples of a company that really looks into that and makes sure that their models are going to stand up. There are very few bits on any of those models that will break, like with like this when you breathe on it.
Yes.
Lost Kingdom, Highland Models, Raven Twin, those are like the three that look amazing, and you're looking at the prints and you're like, you look at the files and you're like, man, these models look fucking dope as shit. And then you like print them out, and the second you touch them, they're just like,
like all we are is dust in the wind.
Exactly. And I did want to point out, like, I know Titan Forge listens to this podcast, or you know, at least used to. I don't know if they still do, but they actually took over as one of the most subscribed model Patreons for 3D printing. Like a couple months ago, they took over as like the number one spot. And I got to say, like, congratulations to them, because they've always been on fire when it comes to their newest one is actually Tomb Kings related as well. They have some really, really sweet, like Araby-esque army stuff for them. And if I can make one suggestion to them, it's that please, please, please fill out the ranges that you guys have. So like they have their ogre stuff. Their ogre pirates are fantastic, but I would kill to have more cannoneers, you know, so I could do like some.
Yeah, that was actually my only gripe about that army. I was like, man, I'd really like to do a beast rider's army, but there's just not enough variance in the sculpt, because it's like there's two crab guys and then there's two rider guys, and it's like, I mean, it looks cool. They look fucking amazing, but like, I don't want to have so many of the same model for my army.
Yeah, I mean, for AOS, you need a lot of like the one type. It's not as much as it used to be for you know, when you're doing fantasy, you didn't need that many. Like if you had like the woolly mammoth guys, you'd only need one of them. Right.
Yeah, for fantasy, it'd be like you have the one hero on the Stonehorn, and then you have the two guys on the Stonehorn, and that's it. Like, you don't have four. But, like, Age of Sigmar, it's like your army starts with fucking four Stonehorns. Like,
yeah. So you have to, like, get creative when you're doing some of those if you don't have multiple prints of them as well. But they only have one guy with a cannon currently, and I would love to have more cannon guys. Like, they're... Their hunter is one of my favorite models of all time, and that's the
dude with the shark wearing the shark.
No, their hunter is the guy who has the harpoon and he has like the top hat. He looks like Ahab.
Oh, I thought that was the butcher.
No, that's because he has two crocodiles, so that's the hunter. So
I think they have two hunters because I think the one wearing the shark is also a hunter. Because he's got the giant crossbow.
I thought he was a man eater. But no, I guess it doesn't matter. You could use them for either.
Right. But the man eaters are in a unit. They have a specific man eater. So I think they have two hunters. They have the dude with the crocodiles, and then they have the dude with the crossbow and the shark thing. And then the guy I'm thinking of, because you said top hat, I thought of the voodoo doctor. He got the snake.
Yeah, no, the guy with the top hat has like a big squid arm. So he has like a crossbow, like the actual. Oh, he doesn't have crocodiles. He has walruses. That's what he has. Nice. Yeah. So because their
ogres kind of flow into like two styles too, because they have almost two semi like complete armies across just the two styles of ogres, because there's the conquistador style where there's a bunch of them that have that like the conquistador armor and helmet.
Yeah, those are kind of like the man eaters. Yeah,
and then there's the ones that are straight up like yar, we're pirates, matey.
Yeah, well there's pirate ones, and then like there's the newer pirate ones, and then they also have the older ones, which weren't 3D sculpted. I think those were actually sculpted and cast. Like, so they don't actually have the 3D files for them.
Ah, okay.
Those were like the original ones that they did. Because
yeah. So that's the difference. So those are the ones I'm thinking of. Yeah. I'm thinking of that were traditionally sculpted and cast.
Yeah, and then they have such great armies. Like, they have that Lizardman army is almost one for one with the Amazons instead of Lizardmen.
Yep, yeah, very cool.
That's sexy as all hell. And they have a couple like really fucking cool stuff that's been out lately. And I just kind of wish that they would flesh it out, because they do like they'll do like a D&D set where, you know, you have your D&D heroes and some stuff for doing like a scenario or whatever. And then they have like one for one style minis where it's more like a like this is gonna replace AOS models for you.
Right.
And you know, I just wish that they would flesh that out. So like, if they did a like, hey, this is going to be like an Iron Jaws style army, they would have like almost a one for one for every Iron Jaws unit. And so you'd be able to, they don't actually have an Iron Jaws thing, but I'm just saying like that would be my ideal. So like right now,
they've got the vampire count / orcs army as well, right?
Yeah, but those aren't 3D printed. Those are also, I think, sculpted and cast as well.
A legacy release.
Yeah, a legacy release. So like right now they have their February release is Cursed Sands. So they have Tomb Kings. So it's a Tomb Kings army. They totally have dudes who are just on foot. They totally have tomb which they have three sculpts of. They totally have Tomb Guard, which they have three sculpts of, or they have actually a couple sculpts of, but they have like a big old Sphinx, like a Necro Sphinx. They have three little Necro Sphinxes, which could probably use as Sandstrike, like the big snakes.
The Snake Riders, yeah.
Yeah, Snake Riders or something like that. They have a couple characters, but it's like, oh, if they just had a couple more dudes. They have a really sweet looking boat that looks like that. They have skeletons carrying. It's fucking sweet as shit.
Nice. And I assume you're gonna use the Mortark, or not Mortark, the, what the hell are they? The fucking Bone Reapers? Yeah. But I assume you're gonna be using those rules, because like the Tomb King AOS rules are gone. They've officially been squatted.
Yeah, but they're still available in Legacy. Like, you don't, they're not like, I can't bring them to a tournament, but I could say like, oh, hey, I'm going to bring these, this old Toon Kings army if I'm going to play against someone, and they would be fine with
it. Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. I mean, you don't like, I don't pay enough attention to like, I don't play in tournaments or anything like that. And in fact, no one plays in tournaments in the United States anymore.
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, like Titan Forge Artisan Guild is another one that does that. But Artisan Guild also drives me up the wall because they're such a great concept. They do their release, and it's like they release like 12 figures, but you don't get enough to do like an army. Like, you get enough to do like a unit. And so that's kind of annoying to me. But they're more.
What's the one you sent me that always has the banger Warmaster models?
Oh, that's Forest Dragon.
Yeah, those are dope.
Yeah, Forest Dragon does. So they do a fantastic Warmaster. They have a full undead army, Vampire Counts army, with like they're near identical to 8th edition fantasy. They have a Wood Elf army that is also the same, near identical to 8th edition. They're going to be doing a Bretonian army, because that's the hotness when it comes to anything 3D printed right now. Everyone is doing a Bretonian army.
Everyone wants your Bretonians. They're so hot right now.
Bretonians are so hot right now. They have the what's it called? The company Lost Kingdom. They just did a Kickstarter for Bretonians. And I know, like, I have the Kickstarter. I got the Kickstarter, but I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is going to break as soon as I print it. Like, these models are just going to fall apart.
It has one of the models that I think the concept is great for, but the execution is like just terrible. Yeah.
It's the greatest model of all time, Steve.
I disagree with that strongly.
For anybody who's listening, Steve, you should post this on the Facebook page.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, it's literally a castle on wheels being pulled by two cows. And the castle,
not just any cows, like regular ass, like fucking normal sized cows.
I'm gonna see if I could pull this up, and I wanna describe this in detail perfectly for our listeners.
Stick it on the Facebook page, because I don't know how to find it.
Yeah, it is. Let's see. It was December, and like some of the models are just so gorgeous in this release. Like some of the character models are fantastic. Like their king on Hippogriff, like their Louis Liancourt. The Pegasus has a peacock tail, and it's so good looking. But no, these, like, it's called the Battle Fortress. And it is it's the top of a castle with parapets and everything and archers on it. And it's got like a bell, but it's on two giant wheels. So automatically it's like, how the hell does this thing stay up? Being pulled by two oxen. Like they have like, they're woolly oxen with big horns. And it's just the most ridiculous looking thing ever. It has a drawbridge, Steve. It has a drawbridge.
I am aware. I hate it.
I think it's so goofy. I would love to print it, but I feel like it is just like a waste of resin. Like, it's like so much to print it.
So you're saying that the miniature will have as much structural integrity as the concept.
Yeah. I just don't want to like go through that and try and print it out, and it like just falls apart when I'm trying to paint it. But yeah, that, like, if you look it up, the Kingdom of Mercia, it's a great Kickstarter. Like, you got a shit ton in there for like $40. It's one of like the biggest deals I've ever seen. And it's just everything in there is gorgeous. But Lost Kingdom, as much as I love their sculpts, their stuff just falls apart the second you try and touch it. Like, and there's no way that you could make it stronger. Like, there's literally
didn't you achieve a success with a blender or something?
No, but their Tomb King stuff, which is great, but the problem was that it was multi-part. So you had, for a skeleton, you had legs, torso, head, two arms, like very standard Tomb Kings, and not as bad. I mean, because standard Tomb Kings, you'd have to attach the shield to the arm, and it, like a quiver and everything else, but you'd have to put a quiver on these guys as well. But the problem is that the parts are so thin that there's no way that you can fix it. So they come off the sprues, you print it, it comes off the sprues, you clean it, you cure it. So it gets hard. But the thing is that the bones are so thin, or in like the pieces are so thin, that no matter what, it's going to crack in half. Like if it drops, and it falls out of your hand onto the table, like a 1 foot drop, it's going to shatter into a million pieces.
Fragile.
Yeah. And like, I know you, when you play your when you play your games, is that when a guy dies off the table, you just, you put your maw over it and you pull them off. Right. Like you can't do that with these guys. Like you touch these guys in the wrong way, they're going to break apart into a billion pieces. So that's where the issue comes in. Yeah. But I do, like, it's like, on one hand, it's like, so if you want to make a model that's going to be sitting in a case and you're never going to touch after you paint it, this Kickstarter and this thing is fine. But if you actually want like an army that has legitimate playability, like I would not do that with these guys. Their Chaos Dwarves might be a little better because they're a little thicker with 2Cs, but definitely their Bretonians and their Tomb King.
I imagine that anything that's just simply bits would be hard, but if you have a chonky model, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, the chunk works a little bit better, but yeah, the thinness of the Tomb Kings does not work in their favor. Highland models does a really nice undead army, but there, once again, it's the same thing where it's like they're just skinny bones, so it doesn't quite work. So a lot of Kickstarters, when they're doing like skeletons, or not Kickstarter, Patreons, when they're doing skeletons, has the bones thickened up a little bit. But because these want to be more realistic, they put them more realistic proportions, which means they don't have survivability.
Yeah, a lot of the times what you got to do for those is just, you have to bulk them with, you know, armor and like cloth, because that gives them more structural integrity.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, they just don't do that on there. But I do, you know, if anybody is looking for suggestions for 3D printing, I have plenty, let me tell you that. You know, just to make sure everything, you know, I have tons of Patreons that I subscribe to. And I've been printing, you know, I've been off of painting for a while just because I've kind of burned myself out really quick. But I've been still printing because I just enjoy doing it. I enjoy the concept of building lately more than painting. And I'm doing this Tomb King army to put in that all together.
It's advanced Legos.
Yeah, it's like advanced Legos. It's Legos for nerds. There was a meme on Eye on Terra, where it was Homer sitting at the table after he eats all the cheese, and Marge is going, "Homer, did you stay up all night building models?" And Homer goes, "I've gone blind for the Emperor."
That's dope.
I'll find that one too. But do we have any other gaming stuff that we want to talk about? Anything pressing that I missed?
No, nothing big. I mean, all the things I was saying before is still the same. Pokemon is a fucking insane juggernaut right now. Kind of it, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, go to the Game Classy Facebook page. The best way you can get in contact with us and see our memes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, and like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. Best way to help out the podcast. If you want to get in contact with me, you could find me on Instagram, where you could see the painted stuff that I have done. And that is, I'm Game Classy Joe. Steve is on the fetish boards as Giantess Fan 69420 Blaze It. Remember when that was a meme?
Yes, I do. I still use it.
They still use it. So until next time, Steve.
I will never stop shitposting.
Never stop what?
Shitposting.
Oh, shitposting. Sorry.
Yeah, I will never stop shitposting.
Game Classy. All right,
later.
Later.